How's everybody? Would you turn to Job chapter 1? Job, it's the employment section. I'll never forget when I first became a believer, I opened the Bible and it said, oh, job. Oh man, cool, they got employment in the Bible. There's an employment section. Hallelujah. Job 1. Whew. Yes. Is everybody there? The joy of the Lord is your strength, and in his presence is fullness of joy. So when you run out of joy, you know you ran out of presence. Would you start verse 1 with me? There was a man in the land of Uz, whatever it is, whose name was Job. That I got right. And that man was blameless and upright, and one who feared God and shunned evil. Praise God. And 7 sons and 3 daughters were born to him, and also his possessions were 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camel, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 female donkeys, and a very large household. So that this man was the greatest of all the people of the East. So he was very, 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 very wealthy. And his sons would go and feast in their houses, each on his appointed day, and would send and invite their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. So it was when the days of feasting had run their course that Job would send and sanctify them, and he would rise early in the morning and offer burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus Job did regularly. In other words, he was consistent. He was what? Consistent. There was something else he was. He was disciplined. It says that he was blameless and upright. He feared God and he shunned evil. Hallelujah. Man, if the body of Christ could do that, we'd be a lot advanced. Shunned evil. You know, evil comes in many forms. So many people pet evil, they don't even know it. But it comes in many forms, many shapes, and many ways. Because evil comes as deception. Sometimes it's too late that we just found out that we were dealing with evil. And we have to go through all kinds of stuff to now get cleaned up and all kinds of things and whatever. But Job was an upright man, blameless, and he feared God and shunned evil. In other words, there's 2 things that he did because he was concerned about not only himself, but his household. So he was looking out for his household, wasn't he? And he was consistent in discipline. Now we know that the key to consistency is a desire to please him. If you do not have a desire to please him, you will not be consistent. If you are not consistent, you will find that you have come watered down, compromised your desire to please him. And the key to discipline is the fear of the Lord. And that is, the fear of the Lord is reverence, respect, and honor. And that's something that you express also. Let's go a little further. In verse 6. Now there was a day when the sons of God, these were angels, came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. And the Lord said to Satan, from where did you come? So Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro on the earth and from walking back and forth on it. Then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? I love this. Because every time I read this, I see Job. If Job was up at the throne room of God when the Lord had called all the angels to come and present themselves, and there's Satan, and I could just see Job over there in the corner, You know, and the Lord's saying to Satan, have you considered my servant Job going? I can see Job going, what are you doing? No, not me. Wait a minute. This is a setup. God ever set you up? He sets me up. He's a setup sometimes. But he does it for our good and for his glory. So the Lord said, have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man who fears God and shuns evil? Man, and he just slapped Satan in the face. So Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear God for nothing? In other words, does he reverence him, respect him, and honor him for nothing? Have you not made a hedge around him? Around his household, around all that he is on every side? In other words, he had a spiritual covering. What did he have? A spiritual covering. Why? Because he maintained divine order with God. He was what? Blameless, upright, shunned evil. Does everybody got it? Why? Because two things kept him there. What were they? Consistency and discipline. And maintained his spiritual covering. And Satan couldn't touch him. Can't touch this. And so you have made a hedge around him, around his household, and around all that he has on every side. You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But now stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. You know, Daddy knows, man. He says, oh, I've been waiting for this. I'm going to kick your butt. I know that the day's coming when I'm going to throw you in a lake of fire, but today I'm going to torment you. So he says, okay. And the Lord said to Satan, behold, all that he has is in your power. Only do not lay a hand on his person. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. Now there was a day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house. And a messenger came to Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the donkeys feeding beside them. When the Sabaeans raided them and took them away, indeed they have killed the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you. In other words, now what he was offering to sacrifice on a consistent basis to keep the spiritual covering by blood sacrifice was taken from him. God allowed it, didn't he? It was the only way that Satan could get to him. Because Job was spiritually covered. While he was still speaking, another also came and said, the fire of God fell from heaven and burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I alone have escaped to tell you. Whew. Job wasn't having a very good day. It got worse. And while he was still speaking, another also came and said, the Chaldeans formed three bands, raided the camels, and took them away, yes, and killed the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you. It's like he's losing out of stuff to live for. Verse 18. And while he was still speaking, another also came and said, your sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house, and suddenly a great wind came from across the wilderness and struck the four corners of the house, and it fell down on the young people, and they are dead, and I alone have escaped to tell you. Now he lost everybody. Except for his wife. Everything. The dude came homeless. Then Job arose and tore his robe. He shaved his head and he fell to the ground. And what? He worshipped. He didn't run. He worshipped. He didn't get on a phone. He went to the throne. He worshipped. Why? Because there was two things that he maintained. Discipline and what? Consistency. It was a part of his life. He didn't have to think about it. He lived it. And it maintained a spiritual covering. So he knew, though. But see, he knew his father. He knew God, that something was up. And he knew that God would not allow this except for a specific purpose beyond his understanding. But he knew the Lord would bring him through. He knew, no matter what happened around him. And he said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And all this, Job did not sin nor charge God with the wrong. He didn't say, "God, why did you allow this to happen? It's all your fault." Now you got to remember, Job didn't do anything wrong. But God was using Job as a weapon to attack Satan. Now let me ask you this. Put yourself in that position. Can God say, "Consider my servant," to Satan? Are you ready for that? Well, that's how we're supposed to be. We don't have a life. See, he learned not to have a life, but give it. Does everybody got it? He learned how to give his life to God. He was a preacher. He was a witness. He did not live a life for himself. He lived a life for the Lord. That's why he could say, after everything, the Lord gives and the Lord takes. Amen? That's why he could say that. Because he wasn't fighting for his life. He tore his clothes and said, "Praise God, I guess I'm going home soon. Hallelujah." I think we need to go just a little further. "Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them and to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said, 'Where you been there, Satan, buddy?' So Satan answered and said, 'Going to and fro and walking back and forth on the earth.' And the Lord said, 'Have you considered my servant Job?'" Ooh, another kick in the head. "That there is none like him on the earth, a blameless man and upright man, and one who fears God and shuns evil." Now you gotta understand this. Here the Lord sets Job up again. But he's actually kicking butt on Satan. "And still," look at this, "and still he holds fast to his integrity." And his integrity was the arena that he was consistent and disciplined. "Although you enticed me against him to destroy him without cause." So Satan answered the Lord and he said, "Skin for skin, yes, all that a man has, he will give for his life." And the Lord said to Satan, "Behold, it's in your hands, man, but spare his life." So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and struck Job with painful boils, from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head. He took for himself a potsherd with which he to scrape himself while he sat in the midst of the ashes. Ouch. Then his wife said to him, "Do you still hold fast to your what? Integrity. Curse God and die." Man, just get it over with. But he said to her, "You speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Shall we indeed accept good from God, and shall we not accept adversity?" Ooh. I think we ought to say that one again. But he said to her, "You speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Shall we indeed accept good from God, and shall not accept adversity?" In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. Whoa. That's where you want to be. Amen. Blameless and upright allowed him to be spiritually and physically covered by God. Why? Because of the offering of the blood sacrifices. He was consistent and he was disciplined. And the end result was God blessed him double the amount. So everybody got it. Wouldn't you like to be used as a weapon for God against Satan. Well, then you must be blameless and upright. You must fear God and shun evil, not pet it. You must not compromise. You must be consistent and disciplined. Go to Genesis 3. And that's what will maintain a spiritual covering in your life. Genesis chapter 3. In verse 6. Genesis 3 verse 6. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was good, pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked. In other words, they blew it. They broke covenant. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves what? Coverings. Does everybody see that? So what did they do? They broke covenant with God and lost covering. And when they lost covering, they tried to cover it themselves. So it ain't going to work. Sorry. That just ain't going to work. They fell away. They broke covenant with God. And they lost the spiritual covering, so they tried to cover themselves. Go to verse 21. Also for Adam and his wife, the Lord God, what? Made tunics of skin and clothed them. What had happened here was, the Lord said, if you eat of this tree, you're going to die. So that wasn't going to be removed. They broke covenant. They were going to die. That's that. The spiritual covering was removed. You could no longer, they see it, he said, you could no longer live forever. Although 900 and something years is a long time. Sheesh, who'd want to live that long in this place? But anyway, it was a lot different then. Oxygen was better, food was better, no pesticides. Hallelujah. Not only that, he didn't have dominion over the animals no more. So in this, when they broke covenant, they lost spiritual covering. They tried to cover themselves. They were covered by God in the garden, and when they broke the covering or covenant, the Lord stepped in and became their spiritual covering by taking a life, and the life of an animal. Because now the life of the flesh was now in the blood. I'm not going to get all into this, but I don't believe that Adam and Eve had blood because they were eternal beings. Everybody got it? I believe that when they broke covenant, blood came because they have something to maintain them, life. They had flesh. They had glorified bodies prior to this. Now they've got flesh, and the life of the flesh was in the blood. So the Lord took an animal that Adam already had named, killed it, took the skin off of it, and wrapped Adam and Eve in the skin. And restoring to them a spiritual covering. But in the spiritual covering, it was now limited. There was something that they had to do to maintain it. Cooperate. They had to what? Cooperate. That's where the Bible says you must work out your what? Own salvation. That word work means to cooperate. Is everybody okay? Now, he restored to be fruitful and multiply, but not restored dominion or eternal life, because they no longer had dominion. No longer did they have eternal life. They would now have to cooperate with God to maintain covering. And the word covering here now means to be upheld, to be accountable, and to be protected. Is everybody okay? Let's go to Psalm 32. Spiritual covering. Psalm 32. Let's read, start at verse 1, Psalm 32. It says, blessed is he whose transgression is what? Forgiven. Whose sin is what? Covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and whose spirit there is no deceit or deception. When I kept silent, my bones grew old through my groanings all the day long, for day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was turned into the drought of summer. I acknowledge my what? Sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said I will what? Confess my transgression to the Lord. For you forgave the iniquity of my sin. So we see here something happened. Sin is forgiven and covered according to your cooperation with God by confession of your sin, by exposing it, and by being honest. That's a part of the covering, isn't it? So your sin is covered, but now through Christ Jesus, it is removed because it is the sacrifice that's above all sacrifices. Go to Psalm 139. Psalm 139. Blessed is the man whose sin is covered by confession, because confession is cooperation with God. So without cooperation with God, your sins cannot be removed or covered, can they? So when you break covenant with God, you break covering with God. When you maintain covenant with God, you maintain covering with God. In Psalm 139, verse 13, would you read it with me? For you formed my inward parts, you covered me in my mother's womb. We are covered in the mother's womb. In other words, we are covered to make it home. That's why there's an age of accountability. In other words, once a child is conceived, the name of that child is written in the book, even though the child has not been named yet. God knows. So if there's an abortion, that child goes home. Is everybody all right? So the child is covered until the age of accountability. For you formed my inward parts, you covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they all were written. The days fashioned for me when as yet there was none of them. So it was already written and predestined. So they were covered, they were upheld, they were protected in the womb by covenant. Psalm 91. So even when a child is murdered, because that's what abortion is, it's murder, a child goes home. And I can guarantee you that child's being raised according to the will of God. Psalm 91 and verse 1. Let's read it together. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I will trust. Surely he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler, from the prevalence of pestilence. He said, deliver you from. Now, that means that you can get it, but he'll deliver you from it. Does everybody got it? In other words, you don't need to get delivered from something you ain't got. It says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. He loves to deliver people. He waits for us to blow it so he can rescue us. Of course, he tries to prevent us from blowing it, but, you know, he's there to rescue. He shall deliver you from the snare to follow, from the prevalence of pestilence. He shall what? Cover you with his feathers, and under his wings You shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, or the destruction that lays waste at noonday. In other words, the secret place. Now, how do you get in a secret place? You got to cooperate. You have to cooperate. So as you cooperate, it brings spiritual covering. When you don't cooperate, you begin to walk out of spiritual covering. And then people try to cover it themselves. You can't cover yourself. It's impossible. The enemy knows when you try to cover yourself. He said, that ain't working. I can touch you. Do-do-do-do. Psalm 133. Psalm 133. Would you read it with me, please? In verse 1. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in what? Unity. Would that be cooperation? Amen. You know, they were in all one accord in the upper room. And they all got slam dunked in the Holy Ghost and put on fire. Verse 2. It is like the precious oil upon the what? Head. Now he's giving you a divine order and how it runs. It runs from the head, running down the what? The beard of Aaron, running down the what? Edge of his garments. Divine order. The covering runs in divine order. It is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the Mount Zion. For there the Lord commanded the what? The blessing, life forevermore. So to be in divine order, you must be cooperating with God. And in this, he says that there is a head, isn't there? There's a what? There is a head. The anointing runs down the head, covering of his presence. It's divine order. Staying under the covering with cooperation and the blessing of the promise. Now remember something. God operates in the arena that the promise is never released until the will is done. So many people are crying out for the blessing and for the promise of God when he's already said, do this, then I'll do that. So the promise or the blessing will not be released until you've completed what he's asked you to do. Then it is release. So many people go out and get their own blessing and call it, I'm blessed. When God didn't bless them, they just blessed themselves. But they used the talent God gave them. Are you listening? And they begin to serve the talent and begin to worship the blessing. Because they're out of divine order. Divine order. God is divine. And his order is divine. Everything, that's how everything flows. It's like plumbing. You got a leak in a pipe, it ain't flowing good. If it's clogged up, something's not right. If the pipes are all making figure eights everywhere, it's going to take a long time for it to flow through. You want a straight line. That's what divine order is, a straight flow. Staying in divine order in everything that we do. That takes cooperation so that we are under covering, spiritual covering. The promise is according to the covenant, and then it's not released until the will is completed. Jeremiah 31. Let's read this together. Jeremiah 31, verse 31. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a what? New covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant which they what? They broke and they what? Died. Come on. They broke and they what? Died. How many made it out of the wilderness? Two. Out of millions. Why? Because they grumbled and complained and everything else. Made idols. They forsook the way of the Lord. They broke covenant. He said, my covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds. So the law is in your mind already. In other words, it's the mind is representation of spirit here. I'll put my law in their mind and write it on their hearts. And I will be their God and they shall be my people. No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and their sin I will remember no more. Because new covenant, new covering. New covenant, new covering. Break covenant, you break covering. Has everybody got it? Go to Hebrews 10. Hebrew, or should I say Shebrew? Hebrew 10. My wife still gets me on that one. I have to bring her coffee every morning. Hebrew. Hebrew 10, verse 19. Is everybody there? Therefore, let's read it together, please. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us, through the veil, that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God. In other words, he brought a new covenant. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the what? Assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully, after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, or a what? Covering. There no longer remains a what? Covering. Hallelujah. But a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation, which will devour the adversaries. Jesus, the ultimate sacrifice of God to bring a new covenant, with a new covering, has set things in a new order. You break the covenant, you break the what? Covering. Does everybody see this? Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 'Forsake not to assemble.' 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1. Would you read it with me, please? Imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the traditions just as I deliver them to you. But I want you to know that the head of every man is who? Christ. The head of a woman is man. And the head of Christ is what? Is God. The head or the covering of every man is who? Christ. In other words, he's putting things in divine order. Covered, we are covered by the blood of Christ. Has everybody got it? God oversees as a personal, for a personal relationship. A covenant keeping child brings protection. Three things will happen. Are you listening? As you're a covenant keeping child, and you are now maintaining a spiritual covering because you are walking in divine order. Three things are going to happen. Three P's. Protection, provision, and power. Protection, provision, and power. Why? Because the enemy will try to steal, kill, and destroy, but he can't. I didn't say you won't go through stuff. Didn't Job? But did Job stay in divine order? Job was spiritually still covered by God, even though all the stuff he went through, because he was an upright man. Two things he kept was what? Consistency and discipline, which kept him in divine order. But he knew that. That's why he could say, listen, I don't know what's going on, but God's allowing it. Because he knew he didn't do anything to let the devil in. See, when you get afflicted without allowing the devil in, and an injustice is put on you, you have a right to cry out to God for vindication. And he will vindicate you as long as you didn't bring it on yourself.
Yes.
So we see here God has put all of these things in a divine order in an area where the Lord must be our covering. Him. You and him. You know, I tell people there's three wills of God. You and God. You and God. And you and God. That's the three wills of God. That's the will of God between you and God. Now we know that there's three wills of God, good and acceptable and perfect. But your will, the will for you is you and God, you and God, and you and God. You maintain that, you're covered. You're covered. And the three P's will manifest. They'll grow and bear fruit. Hallelujah. And what's the three P's? Protection, provision, and power. So it is important that it's you're in divine order with you and God. What's he telling you to do? Are you doing it? Because until you complete it, the promise isn't released. And if you just do your own thing and go another way, you break it. Now you begin to walk away from his covering. Luke 10. Praise be to God. Is everybody okay? Ooh, wonderful. Verse 17. Luke 10, 17. Jesus sent out 70 disciples. Then the 70 returned with what? Joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. There is something that happened here. Because you know they weren't baptized in the Holy Ghost, right? So they really didn't have the power, did they? But Jesus extended his covering over them because he was here on the earth. Has everybody got it? He extended his covering over them so they could go out and do the same works he was doing. That's why when he was ascending into heaven, he breathed on his disciples to maintain. He said, receive ye the Holy Spirit. He breathed on them so that they could make it to the upper room. And then 10 days later, they got baptized in the Holy Spirit, and they went out and did the same thing Jesus did because they now received his Spirit, known as the Spirit of Christ, the anointing. But in this, while he was on the earth, he was able to extend his covering to as many as he wanted. So he extended his covering over the 70 and sent them out. Man, they went out and had a great time. Casting out devils, laying hands on the sick, raising the dead. Man, they're freaked out. Wow, this is awesome. Woo! Is this what it's going to be like to be a believer? Yes. Yeah. Would you like that? Good. Well, look, I'm going home. I'm going to breathe on you. Hang tough. I'll send my Spirit in 10 days to fulfill the Feast of Pentecost. So everybody got it. So Jesus extended his covering over the disciples. Without being baptized in the Holy Spirit, because he extended his covering. Hallelujah. Why? Because they were walking with him. Did they obey him? Were they in divine order? Yes. So the covering was available. So when they went, when Jesus told them to go out and do these things, would that be his will? So when they fulfilled his will, was a promise released? Yes. Acts chapter 20. Spiritual covering. Acts chapter 20. In verse 26, would you read it with me, please? Therefore I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Therefore take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you what? Overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. In other words, God was now telling shepherds, tighten up. Here it is. I have placed you as overseer of fellowships of the body, of certain areas that I have placed in my church. In verse 29, for I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. After what? Themselves. Therefore, watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. They were covered by a head or by a shepherd of a flock or fellowship. Does everybody understand this? A man or woman. Now, this is very important, because here's your first covering. Your first covering is with you and God. Your second covering is where God has placed you. That's your second covering. Well, I thought my covering was with my... No, your second covering is where God has placed you. Does everybody get it? That is your second covering. Your first covering is with you and God. Your second covering is where God has placed you. Your third covering is with man. And I'm going to give you an example here. There are men and women, of course they're married, and then there are those who are unmarried. But the spiritual covering is a cooperation with God. First of all, you and God. So let's just say that there is a married couple, right? Their covering isn't with one another, is it? They're coveted, so they cover each other with prayer. But their spiritual covering is God. Christ is the head. Does everybody understand it? Their second covering is where God places them. Does everybody get this? Why? So you can receive what God has given. Your third covering is with each other. That's why he says, submit to one another in the fear and reverence to God. And this is where so many people get confused. I mean, there's been so much foolishness and so much soulish ministry. It's frustrating sometimes. Again, the will of God is not the arena of you and God, you and your family, then you and your church. It's you and God, you and God, and you and God. Hello? That's the will of God for you. But there is a covering that God has placed. He places you in a place specifically so that you can receive what's been coveted to that place. Does everybody get this? In other words, you are in this room. If you are coveted in this house, you will receive everything God has placed in the office. It's not about a man. It's not about a woman. It's about the position that God has given as a shepherd of a flock. And you don't go choose yourself. God chooses you. Anybody can go to an internet or go buy a ministerial thing. Hello? That doesn't mean God put you there. Most of the time, God places you in a place you don't even want to be. I was supposed to have been an evangelist on the streets. We were hoping to travel the country and evangelize. I saw myself preaching on corners. Well, I still do occasionally, but it wasn't my desire to be a pastor. But then he gave it to me when he said, do this. I did not choose this. He did. See, Because when he chooses you into a position, he provides you spiritually. Spiritually covering, he says, feed my sheep. So in this, God will provide. So if you are out of position, we have a wonderful teaching. It's called eating junk food or something. What is it? Well, anyways, it talks about eating junk food. People who are out of position where God hasn't sent them. It becomes junk food because it's fulfilling a purpose. And the worst thing that can happen to me and you is to be successful in the wrong assignment. So anybody can get any kind of licenses anywhere and go whatever. But I'm telling you, God, when he chooses you, he provides for you. When he chooses you, he provides for you. He provides everything for you to put you in divine order so that you are now spiritually covered with him. Now, everything that comes to this office is available because you would inherit it. Just like when I was under covering in a fellowship, I inherited what was with that pastor, what was with that shepherd, because God put me under there. But you have to wait. In other words, because so many people only leave with a partial inheritance and they end up losing it because they never were sent, they left. Has everybody got it? And that spiritual covering now is no longer covering. They walk away from that covering. The only thing that they can maintain now is their own covering with the Lord. But the covering and covenant with the house that he's placed a person in is no longer when it's broke. So let me ask you this. Let's say that you're coveted and you're doing the things in the fellowship, but you are not doing things right with him. Are you covered? No. No. Remember, he is your source and everything else is a resource. So the fellowship is the resource. He's the source. So when you're in divine order and divine position, everything is flowing. The anointing is flowing. Everything's available for you. Just like it was available for me. When I was underneath covering, I was underneath covenant, I was underneath covering, and everything that was coming through, I was receiving. It's amazing how many people try to go to so many different places, and there's nothing wrong with visiting, amen? Praise God. But where God has placed you, where you're getting fed, is where you to sow. Because if you sow, then you receive. If that's where God has placed you. Why? Because you are now a covenant-keeping child under a spiritual covering. There is no TV covering. Granola. Hello. Is everybody all right? Everybody got this? Covered. If cooperating with God, first individually, corporately, then personally. Individually, corporately, then personally. Go to Psalm 92. Fellowship, you and household. Of course, you and God first. Amen? You and God, you and fellowship, you and household. You know, you think about it, that when there are struggles in the house, where do you go? You go to the fellowship, right? And you go get counsel. That's where you go. Why? Because that's your covering. When the Bible says in a multitude of counsel, there's what? Safety and wisdom. Now, if you reject the counsel of the covering, you are now no longer under that covering. You have broken covenant with that covering because you reject counsel. And you will not receive until you get things right. Has everybody got it? Psalm 92. You know, the devil ain't stupid, you know. Hello? He knows exactly how to access to steal, kill, and destroy. The Bible says he's the most cunning beast created. He has got more wisdom than you and me. But he can't outwit the Holy Ghost. See, there is a difference between the ministry of the spirit and the ministry of the soul. And if you're walking in the soulish arena, you ain't walking in the spirit. Individuals that are always walking in the soulish arena are always looking for a feeling.
Well, it don't feel right.
That's soulish. I don't look for a feeling. I look for him. Because when he shows up, there's a peace that surpasses understanding. There's a touch. I know my presence of my dad. I know his presence. And it's not always a result of goosebumps. It's not always a result that my ponytail stands up. Or my shoes kick off. Or I pass out. Oh, that's could be an result or something. But there's a result when I know my Father's presence, my Lord's presence, my Daddy, my King. When I know his presence. And the devil tries to come in counterfeit. Hi. It's me. Goosebump, goosebump, goosebump. Peace, 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 joy, joy, joy. He tries to counterfeit. See, his presence, if you're really seeking him, you will know the difference. Because he comes as a familiar spirit. He comes as an angel of light. He's always trying to be your Holy Spirit. And if you're caught up in feelings, if you're caught up in false compassion, if you're caught up in false martyrism, are you listening? You will always keep a door open for familiar spirits. And the only thing that you will fight for is how you feel instead of his presence. Hallelujah. What did I say to go? 92? Verse 12. Psalm 92, verse 12. 92:12. Let's read it together. Blessed is the man whom you instruct, O Lord, and teach out of your law. That's the wrong verse. Thank you. Some things never change. Is everybody there yet? Psalm 92, verse 12. The righteous shall what? Flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord. In the house of the what? Lord, they are covenant keepers. With a spiritual covering in their fellowship. Shall what? Flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh. I didn't say flesh. I said fresh. And flourishing. To declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock and there is no unrighteousness in him. Glory. Planted in the house of the Lord. So if you're out of order with God, you're out of order in everything. Him first, fellowship second. Then everything else. Ephesians 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 17. Let's read this together, please. Therefore, do not be what? Unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Wives, submit to your husbands as the Lord. Now, if a wife has a husband that is out of line. Hello? And he's asking her to do things that are unclean, defiling in the bedroom, whatever it is. Is she to submit to him? No. She submits to him. Does everybody got it? Why? Because she's maintaining the covering with him, not with him or wherever he is. See, you do not have to submit to ungodliness, and you shouldn't. If your husband don't like it, hit it. You maintain him because he's your source. That's why women still home getting abused and all kinds of stuff. Has everybody got it? You maintain him. This is your spiritual covering and your covenant. And when things are going strange and whatever, you're still covering it with fellowship so that you can get resource. Is everybody all right? And vice versa. Because there are women that abuse husbands. I'm telling you. I've seen them. Verse 23, for the husband is the head of the wife, and also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husband, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present her to himself as a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as they love their bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh and his bones. For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I am speaking concerning Christ and the church. He's using the marriage as an example. He's talking about the church, your marriage between you and him. So everybody got it? And the body between him, the body, and him. Is everybody okay? If wife is out of order, covered by prayer of the husband. Husband out of order, covered by prayer of the wife. This is a relationship of the body of Christ. With their head is Christ Jesus. And a covering of Christ. In other words, covering with disorder person is temporary. In other words, it's temporary. There's a temporary covering. You don't know when that covering is going to cease. If you got a husband or a wife that's out of order, is it God's desire to rescue them? Yes. What about children? They're covered under the house, aren't they? That covering is temporary. Does everybody understand that? Now, it's the prayers of the saints. Now, I'm not telling you it's a certain day, but that covering, it could be only 40 years. I don't know how long, but God knows. But during that period of time, God allows all kinds of stuff to happen to that person. Because you know what prayer does? It doesn't rescue people. It puts a person in position to want to get rescued. Hello? Prayer puts a person in position to want to get rescued. So, you know, that's why single people are covered by Christ and fellowship. Christ and fellowship. Go to Colossians 1. Colossians. Spiritual covering. Colossians chapter 1. Is everybody there? Verse 17. Let's read it. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And he's the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. And you who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by the wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. Verse 23. What's that first word? If indeed you continue, that means you must cooperate. If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. If you continue, go to chapter 2, verse 18. Colossians 2, 18. What does it say? Let no one what? Cheat you of your reward, taking delight in false humility and worship of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding fast to the head, from whom all the body, nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments, grows with the increase that is from God. Woo-hoo. That is from who? So we are to hold to the head, not be cheated by soulish ministry. I'm going to go to Malachi 3 for a second here. Malachi 3. I might as well get this over with. Praise God. Malachi chapter 3. Is everybody there? Is everybody okay? Are you getting this? Spiritual covering. Got to have it. Spiritual covering. With God. Fellowship and personal. In Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10, what does it say? Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that's your fellowship, that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this, says the Lord, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. So if you are covenant with a fellowship, you definitely tithe and so there an offering. Amen? Has everybody got it? If you're a covenant, that's where God has sent you. You're getting fed. Why? Because you're putting finances in the storehouse so that storehouse can be credited for sending Bibles, overseas things, jail ministry, discipleship houses, everything else. So it's not the pastor that gets credited. It's the whole fellowship that gets credited. So don't go to a place and think you're giving to the pastor or to the church. You're giving to God. And by doing that, you're getting credited. There are things that you're going to be credited for that you don't even know until you get home.
Man, I did that.
Yeah, when you gave it here. You know, I mean, and this is a spiritual law. It is a principle. And it's almost to the area where, I don't want to say you're paying for protection, you know. You know, even the organized crime families knew a little spiritual stuff. You know, they offered protection. Gabish? But they paid for it. People paid for protection. Amen? But your protection has been paid for by Christ Jesus. The only thing that you have to maintain is that payment by cooperating with God. You maintain that payment by cooperating with God. And you are spiritually covered, coveted, and everything will flow to you. Ephesians 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. Let's read this together, please. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the working of ministry, for the edification of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. From whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effect of working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. In other words, God has placed you in a fellowship. He's placed you in a place so that you can receive, be trained up, and go forward. So that we're no longer tossed. So we are covered by God first, by fellowship second, and by man third. By God first, by fellowship second, by man third. Every man should be in fellowship, not forsaking to assemble. Go to Numbers 9. I was going to stop there, but I need to do this. Numbers 9. I want you to look at this. Numbers 9, verse 15. Would you read it, please? Now on the day that the tabernacle was raised up, the what? The cloud covered the tabernacle. Hallelujah. It was covered. The cloud covered the tabernacle, the tent of the testimony. From evening until morning, it was above the tabernacle like the appearance of fire. So it was always. The cloud covered it by day and the appearance of fire by night. So the tabernacle was always covered. It brought covenant, didn't it? And it brought covering. Whenever the cloud was taken up from above the tabernacle, after that the children of Israel would journey, and in the place where the cloud settled, the children of Israel would pitch their tents. At the command of the Lord, in other words, the cooperation, the children of Israel would journey, and at the command of the Lord they would camp. So they would journey, and they would camp. As long as the cloud stayed above the tabernacle, they remained in camp. So there was a covering even over the tabernacle. Is everybody okay? I'm going to close at 2 Peter 3. 2 Peter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 14. It says, therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. And consider that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you. As also in all of his epistles, speaking in them all these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of scriptures. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. But grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and to him be glory both now and forever. And everybody said, amen. Spiritual covering, divine order. You're in covenant, you're in covering. You and God, you in fellowship, you and man. And to God be the glory. Amen. And everybody said, amen. Go out, kick some butt on the devil, rescue someone from hell. And heal the sick. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.